it was good.
Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Hope you have your Bibles tonight. We'll be right back. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, folks. It is Wednesday. I got to get a new CD there. That one's pretty scratched up, I believe. And yeah, it is. I'll have to re-record that. That, I think, is the theme from The Magnificent Seven. Part of it, anyway. Well, welcome to the Radio Ranch. It is 7x70. This, again, is Richard coming to you live this 3rd of November, I believe it is. And what a snowy night. We had a little snow tonight, first snow of the season. And but that's okay. It's in its season, much better in November than July. And but have some current events printed out that I saw today, and wanted to go over a few of those with you. And I mentioned a couple of them Sunday morning, so I wanted to go over just a few more, just because we're, you know, change is in the air. Spoke with Brother Paul about it a little bit last night, and so it sure seems that, and I hope that as the remnant you see that. So thought I'd talk a little bit about that change that that we all see. And But we're gonna open up in prayer first. I always encourage you to do that. I got a phone call early this morning. It was a good phone call from my sister. We got to talk a little bit, but it was right at my prayer time. So I put my prayers off for a half hour, but still took time and got them done. And so I encourage you to do the same. They may get delayed if something interrupts your schedule, but don't let them get don't let the day go undone without your prayers. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. What else can we say but thank you for your grace and your mercy that you pour out upon us, that you give us for reasons unknown, Lord, just because of yourself, because you are faithful to the very end, and you said that we would not be utterly destroyed. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord, to have had this great day of life that you've given us today. Thank you for the time that you give us here to fellowship with one another and to draw closer to you and to read and learn from your word. And I thank you for that. Lord, in this day and time that we live, it is so needed that we look to your word, that Lord, as your workmen, that we have answers when the people come and they ask, as we're seeing that happen. Thank you for it. Give us wisdom and discernment, that we would have our speech seasoned with salt, just the right amount, Lord, that we could be salty for you and have the right words and the right way to share your gospel and your hope with this lost world. Thank you. I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight and on the remnant, Lord, those that love you and fear you, revere you, and have you as king and judge and lawmaker and friend and savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. And hope you're having a good evening. Warm, like I said, a little cool out here. We're going to be down in single digits. Hope you stay warm where you're at. I've been in Psalms lately. Talked a little bit Sunday about Deuteronomy 28 Sunday morning, but been in the Psalms this week because the psalmist writes, and it's for us today, time and time again, of this repeat of our, as a people, turning from God, the bad times coming, losing favor with God, and then just before destruction, turning back to God. And I think we're in that cycle again. The current events that we see in the land today, been talking a little bit, and it's funny, it just depends on who you talk to about this diesel fuel shortage. If you look at places like Forbes, I mean, that's kind of a mainstream media, I think. Oilprice.com, energy. I mean, that's not a third world alternative media source. Newsweek. I mean, those are mainstream media that are reporting on this. EconomicTimes.com, India Times. They're just not. But if you Google it, you know, verify.com, they'll let you know there's no diesel shortage. No, it's just pipeline economics. It's an issue with pipeline economics. That's the problem. What pipeline economics are, I don't even want to know. But as for whatever part we play as watchmen on the wall, we've done our best to try to bring these things up and share them with you, the remnant, not to scare you, not to cause fear, but so you are aware. And I think these things happen. We're seeing changes in this nation. And they are brought about by our God to bring us back to Him. They are. You know, here's a report from Forbes, and I'd be glad to copy them or send you the link if you'd like. You know, last week, this says, the Energy Information Administration reported that distillate inventories were at their lowest levels since 2008. That's diesel, jet fuel, and heating oil. And so the way they put this out, it's like, well, and like the next line says here, however, in 2008, distillate levels were low coming out of spring. Currently, they're low going into fall. That's a much different situation. Basically, the distillate inventories, again, jet fuel, diesel, and heating oil haven't been this low since they first started reporting in 1982. I was a junior in high school in 1982. Making, what, $3 an hour at the trap club. And so this is, you know, record levels again. How many times have we talked about that over and over and over again? And again, that I think it points to that change that we're seeing in the land, this change. And so being low in diesel, jet fuel, and heating oil going into the fall is much different than going into the spring. Into the fall, many of the, and that's been 14 years ago when it's compared to. And so they say that's why diesel's over $5 a gallon nationwide. Four main factors, just want to go over them real quick. Refineries are usually doing maintenance end of summer into the fall. Normally, demand is a little lower. Weather's good, so they can get maintenance done on the factories because they don't just, you know, run on pixie dust. They have to be worked on. And, you know, when it gets cold, there's a spike for heating fuel. It goes up that time of the year. Another thing is that U.S. refinery capacity has dropped in the past few years. They blame it on the pandemic, less travel, less people out traveling and doing things. And so several unprofitable refineries were closed. And so that's something that's popped up in just the last few years. If you remember, just a month or two ago, I reported to you the sale of a huge refinery down in Texas. It was jointly owned by Shell and Mexico, and Shell sold out. They sold all their holdings to Mexico. So it's in Texas. It's fully owned by Mexico, and my understanding is that they are refining Mexican oil, and the gas and the diesel and the distillates are going to Mexico. And so, you know, it's this perfect storm. We've talked about that the last few weeks. This perfect storm that is brewing. And then fourth, and as Forbes reports, whether you want to believe Forbes or not, but the primary reason, according to Forbes, is the cutoff of Russian imports. Prior to Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, the U.S. was importing almost 700,000 barrels per day of petroleum and petroleum products. And what's that been? Since February, March, April? And so when you cut off 700,000 barrels a day going into the pot and you're taking more and more out, that is a big deal. It just is. And it's something we're all facing. This report from October 31st, U.S. diesel shortage is worsening. Just same stuff, reporting the same stuff. And then I saw this article from Newsweek, and it caught my eye because it said diesel is far from the only shortage the U.S. is facing. And, you know, sometimes we just get used to, well, you know, when the pandemic started, they didn't have toilet paper. Then they didn't have paper towels. And then it was diapers. And then formula. And we get all too used to this as a people. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't. Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, the land of plenty. So this article, diesel far from the only shortage the U.S. is facing. Labor and product shortages after the pandemic. Let's see, here's a couple of them. Medication shortages. I wasn't aware of that one. Well, I guess I have heard it. Adderall, amoxicillin, but what it's shown is that so many of these medications come from China, and there have certainly been supply chain issues with China. We see locally, at least in the country, dairy production down because of the labor shortage. Potatoes, turkey. Report here says severe drought conditions have decreased the supply of rice, winter wheat, tomatoes, and olive oil. That was reported by Money Talks News. And labor. You know, labor. I saw some young men tonight in town, and they're in Laramie attending WyoTech, going to school, getting their diesel certification so they can have good paying jobs. And they're not afraid to work. But anymore, that seems to be the exception rather than the rule. And there's work out there. There's work out there if people don't mind working. And I thought it's interesting that we're really not getting any word on these other shortages from the current administration. Of course, they're not talking about the increase in crime. They're not talking about the lawlessness in the land or the insane inflation. Highest prices, highest inflation in 40 years. There's just no talk about it. And I saw this article moving away from the oil to homelessness, and especially out in California, has just it is just exploded, and not just there, but but all over. It really has. And So they, the locals put together a plan and presented it to Governor Newsom out there in California. And he basically just turned it down. Said, Californians demand accountability, not settling for the status quo. Everyone has to do better. Cities, counties, and state included. That was the reply. Meanwhile, 173,000 homeless outside of San Francisco. Anyway, it's coming to a boiling point. I guess is how it sure seems to me. And the electrical grid also. I just got a new magazine in today, and there was a there was an article. See if I can find it real quick. But it talked about the issues with the not only the supply chain but the electric grid. It talks about, remember the Texas blackout. What just what was that, last year, 2 years ago? And how it says here the average utility customer went from 8 hours of power failure per year in 2013 to 16 hours on average of power failure in 2020. And you know, we don't think too much of that. You know, if the power goes out for 8 hours or 16 hours, usually if you don't open the fridge too much, that stuff will be okay. The freezer, yeah, just leave it closed. It'll be all right, 16 hours. But it's not getting better, it's getting worse. It's moving in the wrong direction. So if in 7 years it doubled, what's it going to do in the next 4 years? It's going to double again? And so I mentioned that because it's change. Things are changing. What are we to do when they change? Well, we're to go back to His Word. We're to go back to His Word. I've been reading from Psalms, and we read from Psalm 78, I think last night with Brother Paul, and it's encouraging to me to read there. Verse 40 of Psalm 78, how often they rebelled against God in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. And again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. And if you have eyes to see, you see that that very thing is what is happening in this nation. That we have rebelled against Him in this land by turning away from His law, by turning away from His instructions, from His Word, from His law. In Psalms 89, verse 32, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. And that's what I think, that's what this inflation is. That's what this diesel shortage is. That's what this possible shutdown. Another rail strike is possible here the end of November. Got a brother over in Nebraska that works with the rail, and I'm hoping I can get with him maybe toward the end of the month as it gets a little closer, and we can maybe even bring him on the radio and talk to him about that and get him to answer some questions for us, because it just seems that it's just another one of the birth pangs, the transgressions, the punishments the stripes that, well, that are being applied. How about that? That are being applied. Remnant, we do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913, and we'd be glad to take your call. In Psalms, I encourage you to turn over to Psalms 105. Psalms 105 is very similar to the history lesson that Stephen gave just before they stoned him. It follows it, and you know, and we see that history lesson time and time again in the scriptures. Do you ever wonder why? Why is that same old story repeated over and over and over again? Do you ever think that maybe it's so we would learn from it, so we would go back and read it and understand it more than just a wilderness wandering, just a time that the children of Israel spent in the desert? I hope that you do, especially in light of these current events that we live with today, with these record prices, record fires, record floods, record drought. Just depending on where you look. You ever notice it's not just the same old? It's not. And so I encourage you again, read Psalms 105. In verse 37 it says, "Then God brought them out with silver and gold, and among his tribes there was not one who stumbled." And that verse, I'm thankful for Pastor Peters and this ministry that opened up my eyes to what this verse means. And hearing Pastor Peters' messages on Passover over the years, and we've got most of them on CD. We've got several years worth on of Pastor's Passover messages before he passed away on CD or DVD, and you know, we usually don't talk about them in the fall. It's springtime when we start talking about them, you know, when the new year starts to roll around, the new solar year, and we have Passover and talk about that. But it's not just for that time of year. And so this here is, it's talking of when God brought his children out from Egypt, that he brought them out of Egypt with silver and gold. And the Egyptian, the Exodus story tells that. That the Egyptians gave them the silver and gold that they had plundered from them. And it says, among his tribes there was not one who stumbled. And in the King James it says there were none feeble. I've got a New Living Translation. Let me flip over to that and see what that has to say. See if it's any different. I like to compare translations like that to see. Many times you can, if you're wondering about a translation, flip over to Acts 2:38, see what it says. Flip to Romans 6, see what it says. And see if it seems to hold true. So let's take a look. 106, verse 37. Boy, this text is a little smaller here. 105, 37, not 106. Here we go. "But he brought his people safely out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. There were no sick or feeble people among them." Why do you think that is? Why were there none who stumbled? That was a question, folks. Why? Well, because they had partaken. Pastor had has some great messages on it, but it's because they had partaken of communion, of the blood and of the body, the representatives of that. How about that? How about that? Well, again, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. So, that's what they did. Now what? Well, the reason for that is so that we can see this. This story is told again here in the Psalms so that, well, do you want to be brought out with silver and gold? We're told to come out of her, my people. That wasn't just Egypt of old. No, that's Babylon of today. Come out of her, my people. How many times have we heard that? How many times do we read that? We see that. Come out of her, my people. Do you want to be brought out by God with the silver and gold that's been plundered from us? Do you want to be part of his tribe and come out and not be feeble and not stumble? Well, that's why we have these stories here. Because we're back in that Babylon again, right? We're back in that Egyptian captivity again. Go back and when you go back and read that story, you read it and you see that there was just more and more. The more Moses went to Pharaoh, went to the king of Egypt, the more work he put on him. And that's about where we are back to today. The more work is on us. Diesel shortages, food shortages, medicine shortages, right? Shortages with just all types of stuff. You got to work more and more, more and more. You can't, nobody can work 40 hours a week anymore and make a living. It just doesn't happen. I remember my dad telling me that 40 years ago, that there's no more 40 hour a week. Well, I see the phone lines. Let's go to the phone. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Well, hi, Richard. This is Tim from Wisconsin.
Hey, good evening, Tim.
I had a kind of an idea the other day. It was I was reading through my Bible, and then there was something in the New Testament that said to fill up the measure of your guilt. I don't know if you ever read that. It's concerning the people that killed the Lord. You know. It said, fill up the measure of your guilt. And then it says, behold, you know, I'm sending you preachers or whatever, and some of them you'll chase from city to city, and some of them you'll scourge in your synagogues.
Right.
Yeah, well, anyway, there was, you know, so that all this judgment could be put upon you, right? That would be the, so the judgment could be put on you from righteous Abel to the priest that they killed between the porch and the altar.
Right.
I don't know. Do you remember that scripture at all?
Well, it's there in Matthew 23. Let's take a look. Matthew 23, and it's, I think that's where it is. Yeah, Matthew 23, and it's the part of the woes that Jesus is putting on the Pharisees. You know, at the beginning of the chapter, he says the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. They assumed a position of authority. But they seated themselves in the chair of Moses. You know, God didn't put them there, but they had done that. And so when you read, I would suggest reading all of Matthew 23. You get the woes, the eight woes, right? You shut off the kingdom from heaven from people. You travel out around and make twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. And you don't tithe correctly. You neglect the weightier provisions of the law. I mean, he goes on through it and on and on and on. And then, and so that verse you were mentioning, I think, is kind of like a summary, right? Because in 32 he says, fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? And so they claim this very thing. But I think that's what that verse is, it is a summary of it. But, you know, I think that we want to read the whole thing. It was the religious leaders, not the Christians, not those that truly worship God, not the ones that truly listen to him, but the religious leaders that killed the prophets, that had the prophets killed. And they claimed a heritage because of who they claimed to be, and instead of by their fruits, instead of producing fruits. And so verse 34, Jesus says, I'm sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you'll kill and crucify. Some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachai, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. And truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. And of course, upon this, that word generation can also mean race. And so when you read it, it's a lament, all of this. But it's woes to these Pharisees. He's telling them like it is. He's telling them like it is. Does that... is that what you were thinking with this verse?
Well, yeah, I was thinking, you know, why did everyone that came out of Egypt was apparently healthy, right?
That's what the word says. Among them, there were none feeble.
Yeah, well, maybe because Egypt had kind of done the same thing. They filled up the measure of the guilt, and because the Egyptians weren't doing all that good, right? They lost all their firstborn.
The Egyptian culture was destroyed. It was destroyed. You know,
yeah.
They lost a million workers, right? What?
Well, yeah, and their army was destroyed. In the while they were pursuing Jacob,
yes,
you know,
and their pharaoh was killed. Yeah, they were destroyed.
Well,
Egypt was destroyed.
The book of Jasher says something that the pharaoh actually wasn't killed, but the pharaoh was transferred to some other place where he probably made their lives plenty miserable. But Egypt really took a licking. You know, I mean, they really got beat up bad.
They did. You know, after the plagues and the flies and the frogs and the blood and the and losing the firstborn of all. And they were destroyed.
And so I kind of got the idea that there was a transference of sorts, that, you know, in other words, all the sons of Israel who had been oppressed for 400 years, and I know there's arguments on that, but they had been oppressed for 400 years, according to some people, and by the Egyptians, right, with stuff like throw your children in the Nile, the males, right, not
right.
The females, and then made their life bitter and hard work, you know, just made them, you know, work their fingers to the bones and stuff like that, you know. Anyway, so you got this 400 years of oppression that ended when the sons of Israel, Jacob, they walked out of there, and everyone was healthy, but all the Egyptians were messed up really bad, and so
yes.
Maybe there was just kind of a big transference there going on there.
Yes,
you know,
I agree with you. I knew Pastor talked about that. I forget what message it was, but he talked about that teeter-totter transfer, you know, like on a seesaw. You know, if one person's up on a seesaw, the other person's down. And then if that person's up, well, then the first person's down. You can't have, I don't even know if they still have seesaws in playgrounds, but you can't both be up. Somebody's got to be up and somebody's down. And Pastor talked about that. I forget what message it was, but maybe that was it, the teeter-totter transfer. But about that very thing, that a transfer took place. That was a change of an age. It was the end of an age of Egypt, and it was the beginning of an age. And so it wasn't the end of all time, but it was the end of that age. It was the end. And those Israelites that came out, they were blessed. They came out healthy. They had silver and gold. For the most part, they had victory over their enemies. They were fed in the desert. They had water in the desert. They had families. Their families grew. But they couldn't overcome the spirit of Egypt. And that's why they died in the wilderness. You know, that's the
greatest read of all it. What happened to them after they got in the wilderness. And there's so much interesting things in that book of Exodus. Because I think it just works the same way, you know. It's like we have another age, like we're in a...
Yes.
Peter said that we're kind of in a new age now.
Yes,
right?
We are. And and we're seeing this Babylon all around us, right? What used to work all the time, the lies the politicians used to tell, well, they ain't always working. People are waking up to it. The lawlessness is increasing. I mean, we're seeing a huge change. It seems like it's getting worse and worse for Christians. It is. It's harder and harder to raise a Christian family and to go throughout your day without having the desires and the lures of Babylon, you know, just blasted into your face, and the lawlessness.
I know, but at the same time, I think there's a real possibility that the remnant, because that's all we're supposed to get out of this one, right, is a remnant.
Yes, that's all it will be.
That they're probably doing well. I heard some stuff about some of these Amish people, right? And they didn't fall for this vaccinate your children to death kind of thing that the other people are doing. And so and so they have no autism.
That's right.
In their bunch, right?
That's right. That's right. Tim, yeah. I've got a young lady I know here in town, known them, you know, through the fire department and 4-H and all that, but Judeo-Christian, 100% on vaccinations and all that. And she told me one time she wrote a paper for college on the Amish, on what they do, what they don't do, things like that. And I asked her that question. I said, well, I heard the Amish don't vaccinate. And of course, she's pro-vaccination. So, but she agreed. She said, yeah, most of them don't. They just don't believe in it, and on and on and on. And I said,
yeah, so
I said, do they have any autism in their children? And she got real defensive. Real defensive. Well, there's other blob, you know what I mean? I mean, it changed the whole conversation.
Because
you're right. It comes up and it's like, the only hope we have is Jesus Christ. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, but in the church that Peters was preaching for all those years, right? I don't know how many lectures or sermons and then the nighttime shows or whatever he had on that subject. I mean, he must, if you count them all up, he must have had 50 of them, 50 different talks on the medical nonsense, you know?
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah,
there was a lot of
it. Oh, at least hundreds.
And they were all right.
Yeah.
Absolutely backed up, scientific. He had guests on his show and everything that knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So the scriptures people, they probably, didn't do that either to their children. You know what I mean?
I hope not.
Murder their children with that crap.
Right.
You know?
I sure hope not.
Well, I know you didn't.
No, no.
Right, and for sure, anybody that was listening to that ministry or whatever, unless the wife basically, you know, the women's rebellion thing, you know, but anyway, so here we have maybe a remnant that just is probably healthy, you know, and we're coming out and.
Yeah. There's still sicknesses now, just like the day before they left Egypt, I'm sure there were. And Pastor Peters linked it to he was preparing his people. And one of the ways he did it was with the Passover meal that's become the Lord's Supper. The Passover meal was one of the ways he did it. And so, you know, that completely, and we're almost out of time, but that completely ties back into just obedience to God. I think that's what it is. God said, do this. And you know, the people that said, well, that's not what he really meant, or I think it's just like it, that this will be okay. Those people didn't make it. They didn't come out feeble. They didn't make it through the death angel. And that's
right.
How we have to be today. We have these stories for us today. We have to apply them to us today that, you know, we're to abide in him, his word, from in the beginning to the amen at the end of Revelation. We are to abide in his word. His word is to abide in us. And we're to obey his word. No matter what it is, that is just the opposite of what the church is teaching. Just like in this verse you mentioned about the Phariseeism, it's just the opposite of what Jesus was teaching. It's what the religious leaders of the day were. So, well, brother, I got to go. I got one more call. I'm going to try to get it in thanks for the call.
Thanks
for the conversation.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. God bless.
Right.
Well, I guess the other line didn't make it. Oh, well. Well, Yeah, great comment. And it is. Matthew 23, he is cutting the Pharisees a new one. Not holding back, calling them out for the murderers, for the killers, for the liars that they were. That's the sweet Jesus that we read about. The sweet Jesus that loves, loves, loves. You know, there's a hit song out on the the Christian pop chart, whatever, K-Love kind of stuff. Something like Nothing But Love in the Heart of God. And, you know, the song's just wrong. I mean, there's love like we can't imagine in the heart of God, but that's not all that's there. Read His Word. Read His Word. All you got to do is go back to Psalms, and you can read it. It was He Verse 34, when God killed His people sought Him. Does that sound like love to you? Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that. But, well, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. We are about out of time, and I'm about out of voice. I invite you back Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're sure planning on being here, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And we'd sure like you to join us 7 a.m. Saturday morning, Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central. You guys in the Midwest, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Join us for coffee with the Wranglers. We will be here with some good hot coffee and the Bibles. We'll have our Bibles open. We'll have the phone lines open as well. And so we hope that that you'll join us. Well, we encourage you to read the Word, listen to the Word. His Word is true. If we draw closer to Him, He will draw closer to us. And that's a good thing. Well, folks, again, we'll talk to you Saturday morning. Good night.
Try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope, in the promise that He brings, there will be a place where no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face.